Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
So when it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing that you do? 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hola. So what's the unhealthy thing that you do?
I stress eat a lot.
Stress eat. All right. Are you under stress a lot? And what do you eat when you stress eat?
Mostly from anxiety, dealing with PTSD.
Okay.
And I pretty much eat whatever I can find.
All the time?
Almost. Unless I'm actively doing something else.
So what kinds of things do you populate your house with? Like, what kinds of foods do you have to eat when it's time to stress eat?
I've cut down on all the snacks, so I basically have the basics: meat, rice, and vegetables.
So you're not necessarily eating unhealthy, but you're eating because you're stressed.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely a stress or emotional eater.
All right. But are you eating garbage, or are you like this guy eating?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, if there's like something bad going on, and it does it, I don't know. It's just swapping one out for the other. But as opposed to like crawling into a bottle, I'm much more apt to order pizza and eat chips.
Yeah, I don't know which one's better. I mean, right. I would crawl into a bottle, right?
Yeah.
I feel so the whatever the outcome of that is, mine's just more immediate. You know, Correct. You're doing the gradual slow roll. It's like,
well, it's all dopamine hits kind of in the end.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. Like sugar's doing it. The delicious pizza's doing it. The booze is doing it.
My problem is I like to just relax and get high.
Sure.
And then when I get high, now I really want it. And by the way, I just ate dinner.
Yeah,
so
that's my thing, man.
I get high after dinner. You know, I sit down, I start looking through what's on tonight, what can I watch, blah, blah, blah. Hit a bowl. Next thing you know, I'm up, walking around, looking in the kitchen, mm-hmm. seeing what I got, anything to snack on, blah, blah, blah. That's the vicious cycle.
I mean, look, I plow through Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but the truth is I rarely eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch if I'm not stoned. Right? So it's typically 10 o'clock at night. And yes, I have eaten dinner, but now two bowls of Cinnamon Toast Crunch are nothing but pure sugar, but God damn it, it's good.
When it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing that you do? 206-803-ROCK.
I straight up had it out with my wife one time because we were at home and I was going through the cabinets and she was in charge of the groceries.
All right.
And so I once, you know, was getting just frustrated. She says, "What is your problem?" I said, "This house is not snack conducive. All I'm seeing is seeds and cans of crap. Like, I want chips. I want crackers. I want candy. Something." And now we have all that in the house, and that's not okay.
I really don't snack much. Like I said, I will do what Miles does under getting stoned and have two peanut butter jellies or a couple of bowls of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And, like, we have an entire drawer that's, like, chips and all that kind of thing. I barely touch them. If I'm going to touch them, usually I bring it into work with the lunch that I made for myself.
Right. Yeah.
But otherwise, like, that's not what appeals to me in that moment. I'm like, either peanut butter and jelly or cinnamon toast, and rarely do I eat anything else when I'm baked.
But you're not even hungry. I know. That's why I'm looking for a bag of chips.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Like, I can keep chips in my pantry unopened.
But once you open
them. But once I've opened them.
That's that seal's broke.
Yeah. And then same thing. Yeah, it's like, we really shouldn't be eating chips. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Snack, it's the worst for me.
Don't want them to go bad.
And a handful of chips is a handful.
I don't even try to reason it out. I know what I'm doing. I'm just like, well, they're in there. I'm going to eat them.
If you have a big bag, you get a handful of chips, put them on a paper towel, bring them in the living room. You're going to go back for another handful of those things.
That's why you just bring the bag out. Like, the rare times we do, it's like, maybe just grab the bag and put it on the coffee table.
Man, if I get a bag of chips, it's typically people are coming over, whatever the deal is, and I will go all in. I'll get French onion dip. I mean, if I'm gonna eat these chips, man, which I rarely do, except for when I walk across the street and get a small bag of whatever, I'm going all in, man.
That might be the difference. We seldom have dip, to your point, unless people have come over or they're coming over. So maybe, because when we do have dip, I'm more apt to grab chips, right? But we almost never have dip. And chips are still good, but I'm just I'm going to get something else.
When it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing that you do? 206-803-ROCK.
I like how it's all been like food. Nobody's been like smoking.
Right. No. I already know that's unhealthy, but you know what it is? Because I think like when you smoke and drink, they bring you a certain joy where it's like, look, I recognize that these things are not necessarily healthy, but I don't care. You know what I mean? Therefore, somehow I have no guilt over. Like, I will go to the bar and I will consume alcohol. And the only time I get up from the bar is to go outside to smoke a cigarette. And then when I'm done smoking a cigarette, I got like, this is the unhealthiest moment of my life. I never feel bad about it or weird about it. But if I go home and, I don't know, I ate more ice cream than maybe I should have, like, that weighs on my mind. And I have to tell myself, like, do you know how stupid you are right now? You're worried because you had one extra bowl of ice cream, but you just went to the bar, put down three shots of Jack, you had six beers, and smoked four cigarettes.
I did it a couple weeks ago, right? I met some buddies on a Saturday afternoon. We were going to watch college football.
All right.
Now, we were drinking, but nothing too crazy. But I got home and ordered gyro and some falafel. So the next morning, I was supposed to pick my buddy up at 8:30. I'd show up till 8:40. He's like, where you been? I was like, I couldn't get off the toilet. He's like, God. And he's like, I knew you'd go out and get hammered last night. I was like, actually,
no.
The drinking was fine. I go, but I did decide at 8 p.m. be a good time to hammer down falafel at a gyro.
Yeah, God, that actually sounds very good.
When it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Angela. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So I ride motorcycles.
How long you been riding? Is this from like your teen years all the way now?
Yeah, I learned to ride on a little dirt bike with my neighbor friend when I was probably about 10 or 11 and rode that for many years and then got my first street bike probably about 25, 26, had that for many years, upgraded to a Harley, sold that a number of years later, and then probably about maybe 6-7 years ago, got on a Ducati for a little while and traded that out and now riding a Heritage.
Oh, wow. All right. What's the closest you've come to death while riding? Everyone says it's so dangerous to ride a motorcycle. We know that. But in your experience, what's the closest you've gotten?
Probably the scariest thing that's happened to me was a couple years ago, riding up northbound I-5 was probably about 50, 60 feet behind a semi-truck when his back tire blew out.
Oh!
And I tell you, that was pretty scary because I just had to duck and hold on, and I was getting pelted with rubber and all sorts of stuff and made it through.
What do you think is the most dangerous road? Obviously, I-5, statistically.
Sure.
Especially between Tacoma and JBL. Mm-hmm. That is the dangerous stretch of road in Washington State. But other than that, as far as just taking a casual ride, as far as the winds in the road or whatever the deal.
Potholes that you know about.
What's a scary place to ride?
Probably the scariest ride, and I don't want to say scary, but I tightened up a little bit on this one. Going up to Windy Ridge on St. Helens, the road was just horrible, and there was just a lot of sinkholes and things like that, and boy, I came down one time on one and just bottomed out my front forks and surprised I didn't go down.
Well, that's what I was going to say, especially on like switchback roads, you know, windy roads. I mean, you got a big bike. You got a big, heavy bike.
Right.
And as far as turning goes, and the radius and the weight and all that stuff, I would just think those windy mountain roads would be the worst.
They can definitely be. You just got to be careful and hold on tight.
What's the farthest you've ridden on one trip on your bike?
Unfortunately, I had to cancel some trips this year. Had a sick dog, so I wasn't able to go. They went over to Sturgis, but they went a few weeks ahead of time so they could get some of those bear tooth pass and some of those rides like that without a bunch of people. So probably for me, the longest at this point would be North Cascades Highway.
Okay. All right. You know, everyone has their bucket list items. Do you want to do like the cross country trip on the bike or anything like that?
100%.
Okay.
Actually planning a trip for next year. I'm going to take the coast down, head over to Vegas, stay with a friend for a few days. And then I want to ride the 89 all the way from Sedona up to Glacier.
Okay. How long can you go before you need to pull over and just, you know, stretch your legs out, take a walk, yeah. You know, as far as the length of time where your back's not killing you, your shoulders, you know, everything else?
Well, our kind of rule of thumb is when I ride with my ladies is we stop about every 100 miles to just get off, get some feeling back in the butt, have a snack, and then continue on.
There was a guy that I read about. I've heard his name before. He's a country guy. I'm just not up on all the new country acts because there's a new one every week. But this guy was... he was kind of trying to pick a fight with another guy. He jumped a fence at a festival, tried to beat his ass.
Basically,
he said, like, look, man, I just went through some stuff in life and alcohol problem. So wanted to stop drinking. But he had this rebel.
You're talking about Mike. We were just talking about yesterday. You don't like him.
He's a country guy.
He was
hair.
In the Navy forever.
I read this, too, and I knew both of the names, and I can't remember either of the names now. Because they have a beef with each other about whatever.
Yeah, I like his music. He's kind of sucks as a human.
The story was he was in a parking lot in Seattle and said, I got to change my life.
Zach Bryan.
Thank you.
And then he took his motorcycle, or bought one, or whatever he had, and drove across country for 20-some days.
I did read that he had this fruition about his booze in a parking lot in Seattle. What the hell was he doing up here?
I probably looked around on 3rd Avenue and said, I don't want to end up like that.
Probably if he's in Seattle, he's boozing.
He had a long year, but he's one of those guys, too. Like, he had personal problems. A lot of them were very self-induced.
Sure.
Yeah.
As it is, it seems, with most artists.
When it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing that you do? 206-803-RUN.
He only smiles when he's drinking.
That's
is
bad.
Is that a song he has, or is that actually?
It's one of the others. And it's like the girl's like, you only smile when you're drinking.
Like, yep. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Anywho, I smoke way too much weed, bro.
All right.
How does it affect you negatively that you smoke too much weed?
It doesn't. I'm a retired guy, so I don't have to do anything. So I can just smoke whenever I want. But I just noticed the hacking cough I've been getting lately. Too much, you know, too much for my lungs. I don't let them get cleared out. I should take a hiatus, which I actually just did recently. But
are you vaping or are you smoking it?
Huh?
Are you vaping or smoking it?
Well, I'm vaping now. My lungs were so fat, choked up, I couldn't handle smoking anymore. But since I got this new Volcano, I haven't rolled a joint since.
Oh, all right. Now, hang on. Using a Volcano is different than using, like, a vape pen.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's traditional vaping.
That's
an old hippie unit that they put on sale because Black Friday, and so I grabbed one and couldn't help myself.
Yeah, about $200 or $300 too. They're not cheap.
Also, I've heard you could use turkey bags.
I've got a Volcano at home. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, buddy of mine has one.
I know where it is.
And he's like, dude, you got it. And we did it. He bugged me for like 2 months, finally went over to his house, and it was great. Have you considered like edibles or gummies or anything like that?
I do, but I don't like the after effect. I think it lingers too long. I want to smoke stuff and then get a good feel for it and then be done with it in a couple hours or so, you know, when it wears off. When you do edibles, man, it lingers too long and you be screwed up for a while, you know.
Well, it lingers too long and you can't quite predict when it's going to hit.
Does it make you sedentary? In other words, would you ever smoke a joint and say, you know what, I'm going to go on a 4-mile walk?
Right.
Or walk around the neighborhood?
Well, tell you the truth, I would have one just in case somebody pulled up in front of mine so we could smoke it. But I personally also have a vape pen on order, so that's coming pretty soon. Now I have a little portable rig that'll be great.
Now
so I can do that. But right now, yeah, I have to roll a joint and have something ready to rock.
But are you active? Do you do things, or do you just sit on the couch after you smoke?
No. I grow my own weed, so I'm busy as hell.
Okay.
Do you forget stuff? Like, I know some people that, like, they smoke every day, all day, and they're fine. It's not like they're inactive, but sometimes just like, dude.
Right, just mentally not there.
That or, like, the constant smoking, where it's like.
Well, I'm active, very active, and I only smoke once in a while when I need to. You know, I use it medicinally pretty much. But, you know, when you do that since 2019, your lungs haven't had a break, been smoking weed pretty much in joint form. it really gets to you, and it's like, wow, vaping really does make a big difference, and it's a lot easier to lungs.
You know? Well, yes, it depends on the vape, too. Back to the volcano, that's flour. Not an oil or anything that's processed like that. It's because I've got a relative that smokes Juuls.
Yeah.
Which are those little rectangular-looking things, right? And
that's nicotine.
And his like, there's a smoker's cough, and then there's a Juul cough. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but the Juul cough is like, you're going to die, dude.
It's more hacky sounding.
It's a lot
worse. I mean, at the end of the day, if you smoke anything long enough, you're going to have that cough.
But you can see when someone's vaping how much it goes when you exhale.
Yeah.
Like you've been behind the guy in the car who's smoking a vape, and all of a sudden you just see like this incredibly big, it's like a cumulonimbus.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's not even just a, compared it's to regular cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, when it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing that you do? 206-803-ROCK.
I just hate people, every time they take a hit, they cough up a lung and then hand you the bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
Dude, like, I want to smoke, but you're kind of ruining it.
It's just kind of, it's not a great sales pitch.
And I get it. Every once in a while, you know what I mean? You take too big of one, you're going to cough.
But oh, yeah.
I know, there's at least 20 people I know where it's like, every time they smoke.
Every time, right. Are you sure this is good for you?
Right?
Maybe you need something else, man. Yeah. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How are you guys today?
Hola!
First time caller. Been listening to you guys since 08.
Oh, welcome to the show, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys a ton.
Well, thank you.
You guys made it easier for me to get through living in Seattle when I was there.
Where do you live now?
Jackson, Wyoming.
Oh, Jackson, Wyoming. You obviously wanted to be where the people are. I can feel it.
Well, not really, but...
You're probably slaying it out there. Don't worry.
So, anyways, I raced motocross from 14 to 24, and I've had 39 orthopedic surgeries.
Damn.
All but four of them related to motorcycles.
Jesus, man. Now, do you still ride a motorcycle?
Yes.
Okay, I would say if you live in Jackson, Wyoming, I would too, right? I would say all the open roads.
Are you riding motocross or are you just riding a street bike?
I have both.
Oh, really? So do you still race motocross, or is it just kind of a side thing you do to have a little fun?
Well, trying to convince the wife that I should at least race once in my 40s, but she's not down with that.
All right. So you have to be in somewhat of good shape to be able to do that.
Sure.
So you're not fat, obviously. You know, you're not overweight. So you, physically, if I looked at you, you look perfectly fine. But
still super dangerous.
But you're Evel Knievel on the inside.
Yeah, I walk with a little bit of a limp. I shattered both my ankles and 2004.
Is there a certain thing that you keep doing over and over and over again? I mean, hey, should you avoid whoop-de-doos? Right. What is your nemesis?
Gravity.
Okay.
Gravity. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's a hard one to beat.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fair enough, man. But motocross, that ranks as what? One of the 21?
Yeah.
Most dangerous?
It's not good. This is the risk of dying what we love, all right?
Because everyone's called in, like, with the food thing, right. The smoking weed, a motorcycle. It's like, all right, but especially living in the Pacific Northwest, I feel like a lot of these things on this list apply to some very normal habits
right. That
people have here.
So they say, believe it or not, the most extremely safe thing that you can do is flying a commercial aircraft.
Sure.
Being a passenger in a commercial aircraft. That is the safest way of doing anything that you would normally do.
It just sucks.
Generally, safe activities include driving, cycling, and resort skiing. Not out of bounds.
Right.
Those are all in the same category.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Somewhat dangerous activities include backcountry skiing.
Yep.
With a risk of avalanche. Open water swimming.
Yep.
Marathon running and equestrian eventing, as
they
say.
What puts marathon running up there with equestrian events? Is it just the strain on your body?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you got to think, equestrian you're going 4 hours.
Right, like equestrian is just dangerous anytime
you're on a horse.
In
a
Christopher Reeves kind of way. People tip over.
Exactly.
I think marathon running, Miles was saying, like, it's just got to be the wear and tear.
Yeah. I don't do either of those things. I'm safe.
You don't just get out there and run a marathon. Yeah. You're training for months to prepare for this. So the amount of pounding you're putting on your legs and your knees. Dangerous activities, more dangerous than that. Scuba diving, general aviation. In other words, the guy who's got a Cessna.
Yep.
Hang gliding, motorcycling. Flying sailplanes or gliders.
All right. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Paragliding is also on that list.
We do that for fun.
As well as skydiving and downhill mountain biking.
I guess skydiving is probably more the risk of breaking bones than it is your death.
Yes.
I guess most people do not die when they skydive, but we've heard so many stories that they land wrong and blow out their ankles, whatever it is.
Now, very dangerous activities include... climbing in general, mountaineering.
Mm-hmm.
So heading up in the mountains. Summoning Mount Everest is on there.
Obviously. Well, sure.
Yeah. Formula One car racing. Why?
Think of why they're so going tight, all the fuel.
Fast as hell?
Yeah.
Just the speed and the fuel.
Do people pass on in that sport like NASCAR?
Not anymore, but it used to happen a lot more often. They've changed a lot of rules.
But keep in mind, it's not necessarily about dying, but the injuries you can sustain.
The risk of dying doing what we love. That's
never mind. I mean, so it's even about dying.
Nowadays with the Halo, but look at, Grosjean a few years ago? I mean, his whole car, how he survived that, people are still shocked.
Is he the one where, like, basically exploded?
Yeah, like the first lap. So he was full of gas. They changed the gas rules and everything else, because it's basically like jet fuel.
Yeah.
But how he got out of there, I still don't know.
The most insanely dangerous activity. There's only one, base jumping.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Our question when it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing that you do? 206-803-ROCK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Who's Next? Let's coming up at 4:30. All about the kids. Speaking of, KISW Coach for Kids is on right now.
Yes, indeed.
Head to KISW.com. Do your part and help the 300,000 children living in poverty in Washington as they need a warm, reliable coat for the winter. And all the coats, by the way, are American-made.
Yep.
They're about $25. That provides a new coat, made in America for kid. As you know, if you have children, they grow out of those coats every single year. Very
you
rarely,
don't say.
Very rarely do you get 2 years or 3 years out of a coat, unless you buy a big ass coat for your kid, like my parents used to buy shoes for me.
Yeah,
size and a half too big, so I grow into them. But either way, if you could, the goal is 2,500 coats.
Yes.
So KISW.com. Donate now. So our question when it comes to your health or well-being, what is the worst thing you do? We do have a list of the 21 most dangerous hobbies.
Hobbies. I'm curious to know if I do any of these.
If you
actually,
done
I can already
those,
say no.
Would you do them? Have you done them?
All right.
So obviously, wingsuit-based jumping, number one. Have I done it? No. Would I do it? No.
I wouldn't do it, but let's be honest, it looks so awesome. When you see those guys, like, it looks so cool. I know damn well I would never do it. I would not have the guts to do it, and it would not end well for me. But man, it looks awesome.
Well,
how do they stop?
Parachute.
All right,
they just pull down, just pull a parachute.
I don't know. You always see them, like the video always shows them just doing the cool stuff, but I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen a wingsuiter land.
How do you practice? Like, how do you practice?
I think like anything, man, there's just a point where you got to take that leap of faith that your training pays off. And actually, the guys that I went skydiving with, they were, I can't remember what group they're with, but they did, I guess, a wingsuit scene in one of the Transformers movies. I have not seen the movie. I don't know, but I guess there's a scene like you're going through the city or something, and they had actual stunt guys. These were the guys that did that. So when I went there to go skydiving, I felt very, very safe with them.
I saw a whole thing on Real Sports years ago, and basically the wingsuiting is kind of later. It's like, you're going to die.
Well, the best guy in the world just died.
Yeah,
so the best wingsuit based jumper.
That's not quite true. There's now a new best wingsuit jumper.
Right. It's like the oldest person to die.
Right, hey, you're up.
Somebody's next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they will be forever.
It does look fun.
It does. It looks awesome. I would never do that.
Here's a weird one: cave diving. I wonder why that is so.
Because this is the aquatic cave diving.
Yeah.
So,
but why would that be more dangerous than just regular diving?
It's getting just like going into a cave,
getting lost.
That's
my
assumption.
If you have a lead line going in. You should be able to backtrack.
But if you're cave diving, you're already in a cave, and then you're making the commitment to dive down in there and go swimming.
Right.
So, like, there could be another hole down there. Logic just tells me.
Like, if you run low on oxygen, if you lose your way at all.
I would be paranoid enough to just go, if I'm scuba diving, into a cave in the ocean.
That's not something
I
would
don't
do.
Want to know what's in there. You know, we're going to find out that there's a new creature that lives in the ocean, and I won't be able to tell anybody what it is.
I will tell you this. Based on these first two, I would do the base jump wingsuit thing, I think, before I do the cave diving.
21 most dangerous hobbies. Next up, climbing tall buildings, a.k.a. Parkour or free running.
Man, I just read an article with this guy, and it's weird, so he's the guy, we keep seeing him, he keeps getting arrested. He's the guy that climbs up everywhere.
You know,
he does the Eiffel Tower, he does the Willis Tower in Chicago, whatever. So I was reading this review from him, and he's like, look, man, people think that I have no fear of danger. He's like, I'm the most nervous guy you've met. And he's like, I get nervous, like he has social anxiety.
Yeah.
He's like, when I walk down the street, I am constantly freaking out because I feel like all of these things could happen. A bus could swerve and hit me on the sidewalk. And he goes, I know that sounds ridiculous. He goes, but when I do those free climbs up the buildings, he's like, I understand the inherent danger. And this guy has climbed ridiculous heights just with his hands. And he goes, but you're so focused on your own safety that, believe it or not, he's like, I'm not saying it's easy, but he's like, you are so focused on this because of any one wrong move,
right,
I die. He goes, but it's up to me. So he goes, but I am the most paranoid person you've ever met. It just kind of blew my mind. He's like, I can't walk down the street without freaking out because nothing's in my control.
What if anyone's ever tried that in Seattle with one of these buildings?
Oh, 100% they have.
They have?
There's a famous one of a dude doing it on Lumen Field.
I vaguely remember that.
And then I feel like I saw one recently where he might have, was it Bank of America? It was one of the big ones.
Or the Bank of America Tower.
That's a good point.
Well, the old one.
whatever the giant black one is.
Oh, Columbia Tower.
Columbia Tower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Giant black one, Shaquille O'Neal.
Motorbike road racing. Yep. That comes in fourth place. As far as the 21 most dangerous hobbies. It seems like, though, those guys, they wreck. They just doesn't look like it's as bad because they're normally on their butt. You know what I mean?
They tend to slide well, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And there's hay bales, whatever.
But I'm not saying I would do it, but if you said you had to do one of these so far, that one is the one I'm most likely
like
to try.
It's not like that Moto GSP or Jeep. I don't know. When I tell people I like F1, they're like, oh, you got to watch the motorcycle one.
Well, it seems like they have more room to pass, to maneuver,
well,
to
those
change
guys,
the leaderboard.
Their suits, they're going so fast on those motorcycles, when they fall off, it blows up like an airbag. Same with the equestrian. A lot of those younger girls kept dying flipping over those things.
Yeah.
So if you go over the front of that horse's neck, it blows up.
Really?
To save them, yeah.
I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah. Free solo climbing. Nope. That is the one that I would absolutely not do.
Nope.
Matter of fact, that documentary, Free Solo, with Alec, whatever his name is.
What's his name, yeah.
That kind of freaked me out.
Just watching him do it.
Yeah. There's, I want to say that there are two climbers right now. I don't know if they made it to the top that are stuck on El Capitan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in their individual tents on the face of this rock.
Yeah.
They're pretty well up there. And a storm blew in. The storms that came into California.
Yeah.
Hit them with snow, freezing rain. Incredible winds. You know, they are still in contact with whoever, somebody at Outside Magazine.
Well, it's bad enough that the rescuers, the people trained in this, were like, we tried to reach it, but the weather's so bad that we can't do it.
There's no way to get them off there.
Yeah.
I mean, they shouldn't have been up there in the last month because there was a government shutdown, so it wasn't even open.
That's probably why they snuck up there.
And a lot of people are free base jumping off that.
Yeah,
apparently,
man.
That's a no-no.
Okay, would you rather do the base jump or the free climb?
Base jump.
Yeah, base jump. I'm right there with you, man.
I'd rather smack into the wall with a parachute on than fall to my death. I can't imagine.
Nope.
Bull riding or any rodeo sport is one of the 21 most dangerous hobbies.
That one is super dangerous. That's the first one where I would be like, I would like to try it.
You give it a try. Like on an actual bull.
I would probably die. But that's the only one that really grabs my attention. Like, oh, man, that's got
to
be lit.
Well, now, let me ask you this, though. When you look at bull riding, we understand that it's dangerous. You have to be an idiot not to. But is your concern more the getting bucked off of the bull or dealing with the bull after you've landed on the ground?
Getting bucked off the bull.
Yeah. Really? For me, for whatever reason, even if you make it to 8 seconds, eventually you're getting kicked off that bull. Anyway, I just feel like, I don't know. I hit the ground, I got bucked off the bull, fine. But if that bull turns on me, to me,
well,
that's
a problem. We had a guy in here, oh God, 15 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Professional bull rider. And he did pass on at a very young age.
Yeah.
And he and his family, look, they took him to the brain guys, and he had CTE bad.
Yeah.
Just from probably getting kicked by
everything.
Bulls falling on his head.
Sometimes the way the bull reacts when he's bucking, the front of them will come up and hit you in the forehead or whatever and give you a concussion that way.
Yeah. Cool.
I will say, though, I've seen it live in person once. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Is it worth the money? Is the purse worth it? And like the PBR?
If you're competing.
Right.
Is it $1 million prize? You're getting $20,000?
Yeah, like, what do you win at the end of all this?
Yeah, I mean, they win a lot of money.
They go right to like 20, 30 places.
Yeah, and the bulls win money, too. So it's kind of different, but I know, like, nowadays I feel like half the riders are Brazilian, but I feel like they're real. Most of them are, like, you grew up in that kind of
environment. Can you bet on the bull?
I bet you go to Vegas, you could.
Can you bet on that sport? I'm just curious how that works. I mean,
gotta be.
There's prop bets for everything, man. Exactly. I'm sure you could.
So here's what it says on AI. The world champion will win $1 million bonus. They're awarded there in the PBR World Finals. The event champion gets $350,000. The Pendleton Whiskey Velocity Tour, each of the 30 events has a minimum of $20,000 in added prize money plus a $100,000 bonus for the champion. And then your weekly events, such as those at Cowtown Coliseum, add an additional $10,000 in prize money each week.
Okay, it's not bad. Not bad.
And if that's worth the bull, man.
Did you guys ever watch? Now, I grew up in the D.C. area, so George Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the sports machine.
All right, so he was a sports reporter, but I'm pretty sure the sports machine went across the country.
Yeah, it did. It did.
And he loved bull riding.
Did he? I watched it when he did football. I didn't realize he was a big bull riding enthusiast.
I want to say that's how I know Bodacious, the first $1 million bull.
Bodacious.
Bodacious.
Yeah, man, it's a bad bowl.
He was a killer, dude.
Yeah.
Urban exploration is next on the 21 most dangerous hobbies. What do we know to be urban exploration?
Now, I believe what they say in this case, it's like going into abandoned buildings or going down into the
sewer. Sewer, okay.
Okay. All right. I did that once, man. And
I've done it before.
We were in Baltimore, and actually it was cool. It was like eight of us. I don't remember how we got there. We weren't quite drunk, but we'd all been hanging out. And, you know, there was a big tunnel to go in there. We went through. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But at some point, you could hear water coming. And that's why we kind of scrambled and got up to the top. I don't know that we were in any danger, but none of us wanted to find out.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's like everyone's talking and having a good time and yelling echo. And then one, like, shh, 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 shh. And you just kind of hear it and you can hear it approaching, yeah. But you can't see anything. And it's like, let's go up to the surface.
Right.
Well, there used to be a bridge where I lived. It was a train track bridge across a portion of the lake. But to get to that other side of the lake, you really did have to have somebody who had a car. And they would need to circumvent the entire perimeter of the lake. And so it was a big lake to get to the other side, which right. had stuff. It was only accessible, though, through two bridges.
Okay.
The other bridge is about 5 miles away. Then you have to come all the way back. But that was the only bridge that was a automobile bridge. The other one was a railway.
Okay.
All right. And countless times, we tried to get across that bridge because it was
the railroad bridge.
Yes. And a train would be coming.
Yeah.
And we would jump in the lake. I mean, at least we had that option. Not really high. Maybe 35, 40 feet.
That's plenty high.
It's high.
Not really high, but that's plenty
high. That's high. It was high, but it wasn't high enough where you wanted to get hit by a train.
Fair.
You know, and so, but once you got to the other side, I mean, you were basically in Pennsylvania, so.
Oh, all right. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know that it's worth it on the train track cool, but pretty cool.
Yeah, just different crap over there, so we tried it. Storm chasing comes in a list of the 21 most dangerous hobbies. I don't think those guys think that stuff is that dangerous.
I think they think it's dangerous, but I think they think they're in control. And I will be honest, if someone said, hey, we're professional storm chasers, we got space for one more, I would hop in. I would.
I'm with you. I think they fathom how dangerous it is. I think they think when they're in those cars, those little tanks they build with all the tech,
yeah,
that they can outsmart a tornado.
I mean, you can't, but if they were professional and said, we have room for one more, do you want to do a ride along? I would absolutely do that.
Hey, you just got to, the problem is you got to spend a week in Oklahoma.
That's the worst part.
Where do you stay?
And no college football. It's like spring.
Fractal wood burning. You know what fractal wood burning is, Ted?
I don't.
I found out today from Steve. The hobby involves using high voltage electricity to create designs on wood. It's a process called fractal or Lichtenberg burning.
Mm-hmm.
While the results are beautiful, the risks are extreme as this technique has led to accidental electrocutions.
I thought like maybe the wood catches on fire. Not, oh, accident. Yep. I don't like messing with electricity, man. Nope.
Cliff diving.
Well, come on. Now, you've done that.
I've jumped off a cliff. I don't know if you call it diving. I jumped.
Okay, fair. But how high up is the cliff?
I've jumped off a highway bridge into that same lake.
All right.
I mean, I've jumped. For whatever reason, me and water, I can jump. And I don't get freaked out on heights when there's water below me.
That's weird.
Because I grew up doing it.
Sure.
So once I figured out how to do it.
Well, I feel like you just shouldn't be scared of heights.
The worst thing that you can possibly do on that, if you belly flop, that's horrible.
Well, that'd be a bad idea.
But you definitely can pull your shoulder out of socket.
Sure.
You dislocate stuff.
The one
that terrifies me is sometimes with like, the low kind of train trestles,
mm-hmm.
is that rivers change over years.
Right.
And sometimes people are like, oh, it's safe. It's like, do you know anybody that jumped in there this year?
Don't do it first.
Yeah.
Don't do it first. Whitewater kayaking. Not whitewater rafting, but whitewater kayaking is also on the list of the 21 most dangerous hobbies.
I'm just kayaking. Like category 5 white waters.
I've been in probably number 2 rapids in a canoe.
Yeah, rapids,
which is enough to freak you out.
In a canoe, for sure.
Yeah, big old grooming. Drag racing on public streets. That's what I've never done. Honest to God, I just don't have the tools.
No, I've never had that. I've never had a vehicle where it'd be worth my time to try.
Dirt biking comes in on the list, which our caller did.
Mm-hmm.
BMX biking, also on the list of the 21 most dangerous hobbies. Downhill mountain biking. There's the big one.
Nope. And look, man, people wear the GoPros and you see the video. It does not look cool enough. Like, base jumping looks cool. I understand it's super dangerous. The downhill mountain biking, I look at the video, I'm like, that does not look cool enough for the risk.
Yeah.
It just looks like danger. And to me, like, I understand the base jumping and the wingsuits are dangerous, but there's something about just being in the sky. You know, like skydiving. The only thing you're going to crash into is the ground, and that's eventually. But the downhill mountain biking, I mean, you see trees shooting by, man, big-ass boulders sticking out of the ground. I'm like, no.
I don't think I'd... Look, it's not on the list. Obviously, it's not a hobby. But you've been in two helicopters.
Yes.
Did you guys see the footage of the helicopter that went down the...
California?
In Sacramento.
Yeah.
That to me, you're not in control. Like, at least with a plane, you have a chance to bring that thing down.
Yeah, typically,
a chance.
Pilots fight, even if the plane crashes, the pilots are fighting until the bitter end, assuming you didn't lose a wing or it's not a free fall. But, right, with a helicopter, man, if something goes wrong, it's kind of done.
Would you get in a bush plane in Alaska to go hunting or to live remotely?
I would not hunt, I would not live remotely. But, yes, I would get in a bush plane. I would. And look,
well, see, to me, the thing is you're going out where the Kodiak bears are.
Yeah, look, that's so the part I worry about.
It's not just the plane ride.
Right, it's where you land.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing.
I was just in a Cessna. Suddenly that's much different, is it?
Probably not, all things being equal. Yeah. You know, I mean, like you said, once you land, I'd be like, why are we here and what's going to eat me?
But here's the difference.
The flight, if he said we're just going to do a round trip in the flight, absolutely.
Oftentimes, in those planes... You know, you've got mountains that are bigger than Rainier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in fog, if you're in bad weather, just trying to lift and get the elevation you need to clear that. You know, like, think about what happened to Kobe Bryant's helicopter. They're in the fog. They couldn't see. That was a mountain in California. And in Alaska, they're twice as high.
Sure.
So I think that's...
But I would still...
There are certain areas where you can shoot through the gap. But other than that,
well, what did you
gotta climb over the top.
When you went on safari, because at some point you had to get on a tiny-ass plane, didn't you?
Two or three of them, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I know you don't have the mountains jutting out of the ground and all that, but were you nervous when you're on those planes?
You ever taken off on dirt?
I have not.
Me neither, until that trip. And I'm like...
Oh, so you were just in one as small as the one I was in.
Yeah, basically. I mean, one of the flights. Other ones were great.
Sure.
They serve you beer and wine. Like, there's some, I mean, it's a small little plane, but, like, they have somebody who comes in and, like, they'll give you sandwiches and bags of chips. Yeah, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That's much different.
Unlimited beer. Unlimited beer. Ooh. Too bad the flight was only, like, 35 minutes.
That's why it's unlimited.
Which put down five or six.
I put out two or three of them.
Yeah.
They were, like, really crisp, light pilsners. I was like, this is delicious. Ice cold.
Hey, look.
Beer on planes is always kind of lukewarm.
Yeah.
That flight I was on was fine, right? That airway, they do it all the time, right? With the San Juan Air, right? They're great people. I won't lie to you. As soon as we landed on Lopez, I looked at Brad. I said, we need to get a cocktail.
It's going to be right now.
Well, like, he doesn't drink, but I was like, my hands were shaking.
Hella skiing on the list, obviously.
Oof.
It's just where they...
Drop you off.
It's where they drop you off on some cornice on top of a giant mountain.
There's no possible way I could navigate that.
Not only that, but typically those guys are the first people down that run.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as triggering an avalanche or just the slope of it, and then the rocks that jet out, and I'm sure that they do a very good job of looking at the potential route and where to go.
Sure.
But when you're there, it looks completely different, I would assume.
Yeah, when you're facing it.
On a map, you know. Big wave surfing.
Man, if I had the ability to surf, I would. Right? But like I said, I tried surfing.
I would not do that.
The one time I thought that I caught a great wave, like in my mind, it was awesome. When I saw the picture of me doing it, I'm like, that wave is maybe a foot and a half tall.
Yeah, I watched the whole show about big wave surfing. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, and what would say big wave surfing? They're not talking about, like, bless you, like being out on Maui and whatever. Like, what's the famous one? Jaws or whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
They're finding specific swells, and it's like, if you don't make it out of that wave, like, you just don't make it.
Well, I've been in the washing machine in the Atlantic on a boogie board.
Yeah.
Or just roll, that's a good point.
So I rescind that.
Salt water on my nose and my mouth. Couldn't figure out which way was up. I still have the board tethered to me, so it's somewhere. It's floating. I'm trying to pull on the string to figure out which way's up.
Yep.
And it takes about, first of all, end of beach day for me. I'm going to the pool. I am dizzy. I am sick. I am nauseous. I'm coughing up salt water. My stomach is upset. It sucks. So I can't imagine doing a big wave and just, you know, tumbling and spinning that much more.
Because
you don't know which way's up. You can't figure out where you are. I swam at one point in time and just banged my head on the bottom of the ocean.
Done that. Yep.
Just like, Jesus, then you have to right yourself, put your feet where you think the ground is, even though you thought the ground was there.
But that's almost the benefit of when you go head first into the bottom of the ocean, you go, okay, at least now, as dumb as that sounds, I can figure out which way is up.
Yep. Ice climbing.
No.
Would not do that. MMA, mixed martial arts. One of the 21 most dangerous hobbies.
Sure.
High altitude mountaineering. Kind of did that.
Nope. Yeah.
And free diving. Those are all the ones.
Would you free dive?
No. No. Not going head first.
Yeah. All right.
Who's Next Class coming up at 4:30. We got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.